Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. May my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun is smiling, kindly await me at that moment when I quit this material body. Purport. Bhishma Dev knew well that Lord Krishna is the original Narayana. His worshipable deity was four-handed Narayana, but he knew that four-handed Narayana is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Indirectly, he desired Lord Sri Krishna to manifest himself in his four-handed feature of Narayana. A Vaishnava is always humble in his behavior, although it was 100% certain that Bhishma Dev was approaching Vaikuntha Dham just after leaving his material body. Still, as a humble Vaishnava, he desired to see the beautiful face of the Lord, for after quitting the present body, he might not be in a position to see the Lord anymore. A Vaishnava is not puffed up, although the Lord guarantees his pure devotee entrance into his abode. Here Bhishma Dev says, "As long as I do not quit this body," this means that the great general would quit the body by his own will. He was not being forced by the laws of nature. He was so powerful that he could stay in his body as long as he desired. He got this benediction from his father. He desired that the Lord stay before him in his four-handed Narayan feature so that he might concentrate upon him and thus be in trance in that meditation. Then his mind might be sanctified with thinking of the Lord. Thus he did not mind wherever he might go. A pure devotee is never very anxious to go back to the kingdom of God. He entirely depends on the goodwill of the Lord. He is equally satisfied even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. The only desire that a pure devotee entertains is that he may always be in rapt attention with thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, regardless. Bhishma Dev wanted this much only, that his mind might be absorbed in thinking of the Lord and that he pass away thus. That is the highest ambition of a pure devotee. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadam Mahiyam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangolangayate Girim Yat Kripastamang Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Vanchakapatarubhyascha kripa shindu vayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Ghora Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Madeka Bandho Mat Sangim, Mad Guru, Man Mahadana, Man Nistaraka Mad Bhagya, Mad Ananda Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. from Krishna Lila Stava of Sanatana Goswami. Well, thank you so much for asking me to give class here at Prabhupada's very beloved Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's such an honor. And I hope you will all bless me, Maharaj. Please forgive me. And please bless me that I can pick up a few drops from the ocean of Krishna Katha to speak in this class. These prayers of the great Mahajan Bhishma Dev are among the great prayers of longing to see the Lord that we see within the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, like the beautiful prayers of Kunti Devi in the previous chapter, like this prayer describing the beautiful lotuses in the form of Krishna. Nama pankajana baya, nama pankajamalini, nama pankajani traya, namaste pankajanghraye. She says, my respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So Bhishma Dev is also speaking about Krishna's lotus face and his beautiful glorification. And in the first line of the purport to the next verse, Srila Prabhupada says that Bhishma Dev is speaking in an appealing tone. Every devotee longs to see the form that's dearest to him or to her. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter, after Arjuna saw the universal form, he was so disturbed, actually. And he was longing to see Krishna's original two-arm form. Bhishma Dev is longing to see, is seeing the two-arm form of Krishna, but he's longing to see the four-arm form of the Lord. So here in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Krishna says in verse 49 of the 11th chapter, he says to Arjuna, you've been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form that you desire. Then Krishna revealed his real four-arm form and at last showed his two-arm form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. And when Arjuna sees the original form, he says, O Janardana, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. Yeah. So Arjuna was desiring to see the two-arm form. Bhishma Dev is desiring to see the four-arm form. But then in the 54th verse of the same chapter, 11th chapter, Krishna reveals how it can be possible for a devotee to attain that rarely achieved, that sakshat darshan, that direct darshan of the Lord. So you want to know the secret? Everyone likes secrets, right? Okay, so here's the secret. Here is the secret. Krishna says to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So everyone loves secrets. This is Krishna's secret of how to enter into the mysteries of his understanding. It is the personal pleasure pastime of Krishna, who's sitting in everyone's heart as we travel through the innumerable species of this world, of these many worlds. So it's his pleasure pastime to fulfill the desires of his of these innumerable living entities, no matter what those desires may be, no matter where, what roundabout worlds they may take us to. But especially when someone becomes his pure devotee like Bhishma Dev, then it's Krishna's great joy his pleasure pastime to fulfill the devotee's desire. When we desire to turn to him after turning away from him for innumerable lives of forgetfulness, then Krishna, out of his causeless mercy and love, makes all manner of grace and mercy possible for such a selfless devotee. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that a devotee is humble. He's not demanding. He's not assuming. He's not assuming that he's entitled to anything, even Krishna's mercy. And yet a pure devotee in his heart has the conviction that if I just continue my devotional service, then one day Krishna will certainly bestow his causeless mercy on me. So this is conviction, this is faith, but it's from a place of humility, not a place of pride. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, 62nd verse, defines this Shraddha. Shraddha sabde vishvasa kohe sudrita nishchay. Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy. This is the definition of faith, that having that conviction that certainly Krishna will one day bestow his mercy upon me if I just continue trying, just offering those little flowers again and again each day. So it's said that faith or hope or this kind of conviction, nischaya, is like a little bird that sings to the dawn before the sun rises. It's a nice metaphor, huh? This little bird, before the sun rises, this little bird is singing to the dawn that hasn't yet manifested. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of chanting the prayers of the great Alwar King Kulashekar. Krishna tadiya padapankaja panjarantam adhyayva visatume manasa raja hansa pranaprayana samaye kapabhata pitu kantavaro danavido smaranam kutaste. O my Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship and be locked up in their network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? So from this purport that we just read today, Srila Prabhupada says, a pure devotee is never very anxious to go back to Godhead, to the kingdom of God. He depends on the good will of the Lord. He is equally satisfied, even if the Lord desires him to go to hell. The only desire that a pure devotee entertains is that he may always be wrapped in attention with thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, regardless. And then at the very end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the highest ambition of a pure devotee. So it was reminding me also of Bali Maharaj, another one of the great Mahajans. Bali Maharaj, believe it or not, as a great Mahajan, one of the greatest devotees ever in the history of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was sent to reside on the hellish planet called Sutala. But because of his intense devotional service and full surrender to the Lord, Bali Maharaj received the complete favor of Lord Vamandev, and the Lord actually accepted the position of his doorkeeper on this hellish planet called Sutala. So what do you think? When the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sitting by your side as your own doorkeeper, would you say it's hell or would you say it's heaven? Heaven. So this is the vision of the pure devotee, that my dear Lord, you could send me to hell. As long as you're by my side, it will be Vaikuntha, right? So many stories of Srila Prabhupada in New York like that, you know. There's one story, I think it was Mukunda Maharaj, he was apologizing to Prabhupada. They were walking through such a terrible neighborhood, and Prabhupada said, no, it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful, you know, so. In the Islamic tradition, there was a woman saint named Rabia, and in her poetry, she prays to the Lord. She says, oh my Lord, if I worship you from fear of hell, burn me in hell. If I worship you from hope of paradise, bar me from its gates. But if I worship you for yourself alone, grant me then the beauty of your face. This is pure devotion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he was going to Vrindavan in a mood of great ecstasy. But he was tricked by Lord Nityananda to instead be going in the direction of Shantipur, the home of Sri Advaita Acharya. And he was on the banks of the Ganga, but he was mistaking it for the Yamuna. And then he saw Sri Advaita Acharya, and he was in his ecstasy more bewildered, and he said, Sri Advaita, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? And Sri Advaita Acharya said, wherever you are, my lord, that is Vrindavan. So this is the vision of pure devotion. There's a famous verse by Srila Prabhadananda Saraswati in his beautiful ecstatic book called Chaitanya Chandramrita. And he says, Kaivalyam narakayate tridasa purakash pushpayate durdantendriya kalasarpapatali brotkata damstrayate vishvam purna sukayate vidimahendra dischakitayate yatkarunyakataksha vaibhavavatam tam gauramevastuma. So he says, for one who has received the sidelong glance, the merciful sidelong glance of Lord Gauranga, the concept of merging with Brahman is a hellish idea. The descriptions of the heavenly planets are like flowers in the sky. Attempting to control the vicious senses is as easy as taming snakes whose fangs have been broken. And the universal controlling demigods seem to be as insignificant as insects. And the whole world appears to be full of joy. Imagine such consciousness. Yeah. This is the consciousness of pure devotion. So, I'd like to read, in conclusion, I'd like to read some of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayers of longing to see his beloved Krishna that he expresses in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila. So it's difficult to listen to reading, so open your ear holes, please. Okay. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his great ecstasy, if by chance the transcendental form of Krishna comes before my path of vision, my heart, injured from being beaten, will be stolen away by Cupid, happiness personified. Because I could not see the beautiful form of Krishna to my heart's content, when I again see his form, I shall decorate the phases of time with many jewels. If by chance such a moment comes when I can once again see Krishna, then I shall worship those seconds, moments, and hours with flower gardens and pulp of sandalwood and decorate them with all kinds of jewels and ornaments. And then expressing his great humility, because humility is always aligned with this ecstatic love, he says, my dear friends, you are all my life and soul. Therefore, I tell you that I possess no wealth of love for Krishna. Consequently, my life is poverty-stricken. My limbs and senses are useless. My friends, I have not the slightest tinge of love of Godhead within my heart. When you see me crying in separation, I am just falsely exhibiting a demonstration of my great fortune. Indeed, not seeing the beautiful face of Krishna playing his flute, I continue to live my life like an insect without purpose. This is the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So thank you all so very much.